Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavatitamastamavidvishavahai, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Bottom of 66. The purport adds, you are the Par Brahman, the very form of spiritual light. The Lord says to Arjuna and Harivamsa, superior to that is the Parabrahman which spreads itself over the whole universe. You should know that the concentrated light is mine. And so the principle is that it belongs to Krishna. Okay. Yeah. So, the light belongs to Krishna. It's not that it itself is the supreme or anything like that. So, then the idea is that they're actually concentrating on the supreme soul. So, people are concentrating on people rather than mantras are concentrating on nothingness. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Yesterday we discussed about the mantra. That he is a mantra, but he is also a person at the same time. So, this is the Achintya Vidyavitaku. Lord is a mantra as well as a person. Like Hare Krishna Mahamantra, as we said.
So no, but he's everything.
Yeah, he's everything. So, my question is regarding the devatas, you know. So, devatas also have their own mantras, which are being chanted. So, the same principle applies for them also. That we invoke the person, the form of the devata via the mantra. Because they're non-different.
Yes. Yes, you can say. The point is that they are individuals as persons besides the mantra. Because when we say they're non-different, means the person and the mantra are both exist. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. See, the smartas are thinking that because they chant the mantra, then only is the devata manifest. They don't chant the mantra, there is no devata. And so, but the point is the mantra already is the devata, and the devata is already the devata. The smarta is just getting their own benefit by being involved. The problem is because the living entity thinks of the controller and enjoyer that things are only happening because they're involved. That's the mistake of the smartas. They think they're the one that's controlling, the central feature. They're not saying that they're the supreme, but their point is the supreme is neutral. Therefore, if they don't do anything, nothing happens. Therefore, they're the center of attention. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sutra 1:333. Bhavam tu bararayano stihi. Bhavam, existence, tu, but bararayana vyasadeva asti, is he, because. Bhadarayana says that the devatas are qualified for this meditation because they perform the meditation in a certain way. Sutra Prakashika. The sutra wraps up the Adhikarana by stating Vyasa's conclusion. Srila Vyasadeva explains how the devatas are able to engage in Madhuvidya and other kinds of Vedic meditation. They worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the archetypal Deva and Aditya. Because of this worship, they develop a desire to gain the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, it is possible for them to engage in the Madhuvidya and other Vedic meditations. Sri Govindavasya. Two indicates a refutation of the doubt. Lord Bharadayana considers that the devatas are in a position, bhavam, for maruvidya and other types of worship, because Aditya, the Vasus, etc., may desire to attain Brahman after having attained a similar form of a devata, again by worshipping Brahman in a devata form. This is worship of Brahman as cause and effect. At the present moment, as Adityas and Vasus, they worship Brahman as Aditya, Vasu, etc. And in the next kalpa, becoming Aditya, Vasu, etc., again, by worshipping the antaryami of Aditya, etc., as the cause, they become liberated. One should not think that the words Aditya, Vasu, etc. do not mean Brahman. For it is said that the conclusion of the section of the Upanishad, Ya etam evam brahmo panishadam veda sakrit diva haivas mai bhavati. He who knows this Upanishad concerning Brahman has continuous day. Chandogya Upanishad 3.11.3. Nor should one think that it is meaningless for devatas to desire through this vidya to attain a position that they already have. For it is seen that people who have sons desire sons in the next life also. And the worship prescribed is actually worship of Brahman. So the Madhuvidya situates them in a position as the devata, so then they can meditate upon the Supreme and then come to that transcendental position of associate of the Lord. So this Madhuvidya is actually so they can attain that position to continue with this worship. Right? So it's not that, it means in this life they can do, but it's a matter of it, from this position as Krishna is being, he is the Supreme. He, then his effulgence by that is created the universe. So their position is actually a position of a servant in that they're manifesting a certain aspect of Brahman, you know, for the maintenance of the universe. And so from that position they can meditate that I am in this position, but I am only the servant of this. So actually Krishna is the cause, Krishna is the effect. Right, not that they're the cause and effect. And so by that meditation that establishes who they are and they can do the other. So that's why it's made the point is they can do the Madhuvidya. It's not a matter of it's just saying that the Madhuvidya is not important, so why are we discussing that? The point is that they're absorbed in Brahman. That's the essential point. But that's not being made. It's being every time it's being brought up, no, they can do this Madhuvidya. Because what does this mean? It means I'm not the body, I'm the soul, I am servant of Krishna, but I recognize what this is. So the same position is there for us, is that we see what our conditioning is. So is Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas, is masculine, is feminine. We know what it is, but are we that? You know, we can say but you're already a man who's a Grihastha who is doing business. So why do you have to meditate that I'm a man, as a grihastha doing business? Because then you're in that position, now you can do that activity. Why are you doing that activity? So that you can do it in relationship to the Supreme. So you can attain devotional service to the Supreme. Does that make sense? That's why it's there. But they're only doing it so that they can become the demigod and enjoy themselves. They're not becoming the demigod so that it carries on in their devotional service. That now they're performing devotional service, but they have material desires. So then from that, naturally, they go to the heavenly planets. But having come to the heavenly planets, now they want to continue that devotional service and come up to the transcendental platform and then take up service to the Lord as his associate. Right? So that's not the smartest idea. Right? But you could say at the same time is then they're already a Brahman, right? So then why do they have to do that meditation that I'm a Brahman, I should do these duties? Someone says, hey, do that. No, I can't. I'm a Brahman. But why are they identifying in that way? Because they're already a Brahman. Does that make sense? So it doesn't make sense. You don't. Means they're making the position, why would the demigods meditate upon themselves? Because they're already the demigod. Because they're only doing it to become the demigod, to enjoy. They don't understand the demigods are doing it to see themselves in relationship to the Supreme and how they can worship the Supreme. So since that is not their interest at all, means no, Yeah, what is it? No way, no how, nothing. There's just no idea that they can do this. So, because that's not their interest, they just want to enjoy themselves. That's the position. So, they're not interested in this higher point. Because you can worship the Supreme, but why do you need to worship the Supreme? Things are great here. Like that. So, but when they understand that things aren't so great, then they understand is then we have to worship the Supreme. Right? But the problem is then, you know, they'll go back and forth between karma and jnana. So basically what it is the smarta in this position as a mimamsaka, then they are a mayavadi who wants to enjoy the material world and sees a way they can do it. While the mayavadis who are sannyasis are ones who's either tried that or don't see how they can get any benefit from that, so then they've renounced. But otherwise they're kind of all the same ilk. Right? Like that. They're all mayavadis, they all want to be happy, just whether it's through, you know, positive or through negative, that's all.
Is this Madhuvitta the same thing that we saw something earlier wherein a particular disciple, he approached, I think it was Indra, and Indra said that you should worship me as prana, I suppose, something like that. And then we established the Pandit prana is Brahman.
Yes. Yeah. No, but he was talking about Brahman there.
Yeah, he was talking about meditating on me.
Yeah, but no, he didn't say so much meditate on me, he says meditate on Indra.
Yeah, but...
But Indra means Brahman.
Indra means Brahman, that. So yeah, they're considering the position. The devatas themselves considering the position, something like that.
No, but you're making the same mistake that they are. Is that you're saying that me means them only. And so because of that, since they're already themselves, why would they meditate in that way? So then even if you're saying meditate upon me, why would you meditate upon me if that's what they attain the Supreme from? Right? So in other words, you have to take what's the meaning of the words, not the words themselves. Because you're just taking the word itself, and because it's common in two, then they must be meaning the same. But you keep bringing it back to just the colloquial usage of it, rather than the intended usage of it. So even if you want to do that, but always bring it that all these words always mean the Supreme, rather than all these words then mean the jiva. That's actually the discussion we're having. Is that the impersonalist, means the karmis and jnanis will always take it that if there is any possibility that the reference could make the jiva, by default it is the jiva. While what Bhadarayana is pointing out is that, no, if it's talking about the jiva and this application applies to Brahman, so in the context, if it's about something greater, then it's about Brahman. Right, but because the jiva wants to see himself as greater, so that means, because if I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. And so therefore, they want it to mean the jiva, because then that means I have the possibility to enjoy myself. You understand? So it's a matter of the semantics, basically, is what they're arguing over. It's not actually over the meaning or the purpose, what is being discussed. Like here, it says the Upanishad concerning Brahman. He who knows this Upanishad concerning Brahman has continuous day. So does that mean then there won't be any night? You know, it means the sun doesn't go down and stuff like that. Is that what the Upanishad's saying? In other words, anybody who knows this Brahman will end up in the Arctic Circle. Like that. And they'll have Santa, the elves, polar bears, and unfortunately no penguins. Like that. You know, like that. So it would be so much better. You know. You understand? No, it means that there's the day means knowledge, you know, proper vision, able to see. Night means ignorance, you can't understand. So it means there'll be no night for such a person, means they'll always be in transcendence. You understand? So you have to be able to take the words that way. So if we're going to take them and shift, make this seeming shift, always make it for that the higher principle. Because that is all the Vedas are talking about anyway. The Vedas never talk about the Jiva is supreme and this and that. This is all just made up. You know, it's just like, what is it? The guy is just, you know, relaxed in that, puts his stuff down, he's doing something, like he's buying something at the counter, there's other people there, he gets something out, puts his wallet down, gets this and that, and then, you know, but in his idea, he's just paying his bill. But now for a thief, he's thinking, he put his wallet down, he wants it to be stolen, so therefore I stole it, you know, what's the blame? Does that make sense? That's the impersonalist and the mimamsakas. Like that. Any materialist, is any way they can see it for their own advantage, they will say, no, it's like this. But the Vedas, it's very clear. It never says that. It never says that. It only says, the Veda only says, achinta veda veda tattva philosophy. But because there's, some will emphasize more the oneness, some will the difference. Therefore, there are verses written that will satisfy those individuals. And so, therefore, even within the Vaishnava, then you get ones that are more on oneness, more on difference. Right? Just depending upon where they want. You know, if I want to talk about the relationship and that we're two, so therefore we have a relationship, therefore Dvaita is emphasized. If I want to point out how, you know, our relationship is so nice, it's like we're one person in thought or feeling, or it's, you know, it's just the purity of the relationship is so great that oneness. Then you have those aspects, and when you have, wow, it's so fabulous. You have this oneness of the relationship. You have this difference. You have. So it's just a matter of where they emphasize. But it's the Veda only has a chinta Veda Veda tattva. That's it. There is no other philosophy, right? And that were, and so then the Vaishnavas are just where the flavor they're emphasizing within that. Then you have these six schools where they come up with actually bogus philosophies. They're not real. They're based on the Veda. They have faith in the Veda. They have faith in the Supreme. But that's where it ends. It's all for materialism. Just, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. It's just a matter of whether you think I can, you know, whether you think you can actually enjoy or not. So in other words, those that still have the inspiration, then they go for, I'm the enjoyer. That's the natural first thing. And those that haven't enjoyed, then they go for, I'm the controller, because I couldn't enjoy. So at least I can be in control. You know, what is it? The dichotomy of whether you should be loved or whether you should be feared. Right? Yeah. Because then, you know, love means you enjoy that, but if that doesn't work, but at least if you're feared, you're in control. So that gives them some satisfaction. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what we're...
And when you consider that the devatas are Mishra Bhaktas, then...
The devatas are?
Mishra Bhaktas. They're not pure devotees.
Yeah. What's the problem?
Yeah. So the thing is that if they are Mishra Bhaktas, then it doesn't make sense for them to go for a... procedure like Madhavidya, because it's taking almost two kalpas, you know, to gain liberation. So rather they engage in devotional service. So is it practical for them, or is it a...
You said it means it's like this. Okay. You're saying they're mixed devotees, so is it practical for them to use the process of karma yoga, jnana yoga, to elevate them to pure devotional service? Wouldn't it be so much easier if they just used directly pure devotional service?
Yeah. That's what it... The general ISKCON devotees who are karma making jnana mishra, but still they are using the direct process of chanting Hare Krishna, you know, and getting elevated.
I'm not making the connection here. Because you're saying that the Mishra Bhaktas in the society are just using chanting and all the five direct aspects of Lord Chaitanya.
Getting the...
And so none of them are married. They're all following Haridas Thakur, sitting down. They don't have a place. They just chant and everything like that. So that part that they're using, what's the difference between being a grihastha, maintaining themselves, and Madhuvidya? What's the difference? Okay. Yeah. So that's the whole point. Mishra Bhaktas use these. It's a lower principle, but that's because that's where they are. It's just like this. I have a rope. It's on my shoulder. I'm walking around here. So technically speaking, my rope is basically at, you know, how you say, you know, 1 meter above ground level, right? And it's nicely situated. But there's some guy in this well down there who's down about 4 meters. So, but that's so much low. My rope's already at 1 meter above ground level. Why I should extend this rope down to, you know, that means 5 meters, the 1 meter to the ground, and then 4 more down to them. The point is the rope works at whatever place the person is. So wherever they are, they're on Shraddha, then the rope extends down to Shraddha to bring them to Prema. They're at Nishta, it extends down to there to bring them to Prema. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that you're using whatever it takes to get there. It means we can logically say, why don't they use that? But they're people. And that's where the, you know, the positive elements come up, but that's also where the negative comes out. You know what I'm saying? So we're just looking at, oh, it's so much more efficient to do like this. But the point is, they're people. Yeah? Okay. That the devatas are qualified to worship Brahman rather than devatas, tad deva jyotisham jyotihi, is actually described in this vidya. Other Shruti texts also show that devatas are qualified for sacrifices and worship. It is not contrary for them to do so, since they do this by the order of the Lord to set an example for common people. Right? So the, what do you call it? You see, Daksha does big yagyas, all these days, you know, they're just regularly going on. But you could say, why are they doing? Because these are for the demigods, you know, the result. But the point is they're doing it to worship the Supreme. We may be doing it to attain that position. So either we see that position, and then we see how they're connected to the Supreme. So then in one process, we're worshiping the Supreme. But that doesn't mean that you don't make the connection. We're saying, I'm worshiping the Supreme, I don't have to make the connection that I'm the servant, because then I'm just Brahman. So he's Brahman, I'm Brahman, it's all Brahman. So why do we need this step that I identify myself as a servant? I am able to perform activities because of the potency of the Lord. Therefore, why would there be that potency unless the Lord cared as a person? Therefore, I can interact with that person. Right? So that's what you're doing through this. Now, if you can do that directly through, that's better. If not, then you come to that position of the devata. Then from there, you continue. So, yes, the direct worship is there. But the point is for us, it's to get to the position of the demigod. For the demigod, it's to understand the relationship as the servant of the Lord. So the same thing does both. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Is this why we see that, that point, that to remove all designations before actually understanding where you're at?
Means you have to remove the identity with those designations, but if you don't understand what the designations are, how do you engage it? Just like, how do I engage a hammer unless I can identify that it's a hammer? Right? Then you have the problem, can you further identify, you know, that it's morning or it's evening, because otherwise you can't hammer, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then you're...
Bingo, doesn't it?
That's another... Yeah. I guess they're working on the old 12-hour work days, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, unless you can, but the point is we're saying, oh, we're not the body, so therefore we don't even identify what the body is. But that means then our understanding we're not the body is sentimental. It's not actually using the intelligence. But by the modern context, you're supposed to be the most intelligent, and somebody who does consider, they're the sentimental ones. So now when you say black is white and white's black, then we understand that's the mode of ignorance. So the modern these modern social concepts that they're coming up with, then they're ignorance. And the drive to do them is the benefit you'll get, so there's maybe a touch of passion, just enough to motivate it, but not enough to bring one to goodness. You know what I'm saying? So there's it's weak. So it means you're not the body, you're not the situations, but you know what they are, so what they're engaged. Now, how do you define, okay, this body, what does it engage? Is it according to what I think, or is it what according to Shastras think? So that's why working according to Shastra then is the actual transcendental position. Those that reject the Shastra, you know, without, then that's Niyamagraha. Those who follow the Shastra, like we were just discussing, the Smartas, but they're following, but they don't know why. It's just the material benefit they'll get. They don't actually understand the transcendental. And then the others who reject it, because they don't see the connection of the transcendental, they're the same. Right? So that's the whole point, is that it's considered, oh, which is better, the liberal or the conservative? They're both the same. Because they're both making the same mistake, that the externals are everything. I don't understand these externals, I make up my own. Or no, you have to follow these externals, that's what's actually making everything happen. But the point is no, it's the Lord that's making things happen. So because that external is done to please the Lord, why you wouldn't do it? Like that. If I said, okay, this person likes, you know, nice airy places, and so therefore, since you want to have a meeting, okay, well, what place, you know, has nice airy places? You know, this big open place, nice windows, you know, outside is nice lawn, so therefore, hey, why don't we take him out to the golf club, you know, and we'll have a meeting there, right? So then if you say, oh, well, that's all bodily consciousness, you know, we should, you know, meet him in an Amsterdam closet somewhere, you know, because that's, you know, like that. So then, and from that, then you know, then we're so spiritual because we don't consider. No, you're just self-centered and selfish. You know, and so you're trying to engage self-centeredness, you know, in the Lord's service. You know, okay, good luck, but hey. You know, but the other is that you're using the Lord's method for applying the social, because the social is going to be an extension of the mind. So the point is are the mind extending to the Lord's position? Are we making that effort to come to the Lord? Or we're saying is that, no, I'm going to do this way, and if Krishna wants, then he's got to come here himself. But then that's the whole point, because the maximum he extends down is down to manamoya, down to dharma. Below that, anamoy pranamoy, your artha and kama, you have to make the endeavor to bring them up, to connect them to dharma, that way connect to the Lord. So when we say is that you have to follow varnashram, is that we're not saying that the varnashram gets you devotional service, it's the common platform that at least that's the minimum where you can meet the Lord at. So if you don't think, you know, I'm a member within, I have a position and duties within Varnashram, and within these position and duties, I'm doing that to please the Lord. What's the basic thing? You know, oh, I'm a Westerner, and I don't wash my hands after doing that, and I eat while I'm in the kitchen. My mother always did that. So, you know, what's all this, you know, restrictive stuff where, you know, we can't eat and taste because it's got to be nicer. So we're just tasting it to see if it's nicer. But no, you're just being lazy, and you're just you know, doing, identifying with what's there. At the same time as trying to say is, oh, we don't identify with all these different things. That's the point. If we don't identify with Varnashram, why would we identify with something lower than Varnashram? Does that make sense? You know. So that's the whole point, is that it's so inconsistent. It's presenting itself as if it's so intelligent. Very enthusiastic. No, no, I'm just saying it's very enthusiastic. we're trying to show that we're intelligent, but our intelligence is only based on the mind. It's not actually based on intelligence, because actual intelligence means basing it on the Veda. Because Krishna is the one who's intelligent. Right? We don't know, and then we try to work something out. That's just speculation. But we take speculation as you're engaging the mechanics of intelligence, but what you're working with is not actually intelligent. You know, it'd be like taking all your pots and pans out into the backyard, right? Means if they could get away with it, you know, all the 6-7-year-old girls would be taking all mommy's pots out in the backyard. What would they be doing? Oh, they'd be cooking so many nice things, right? But the whole point is that how it's supposed to work? Are they actually cooking? No. But in their mind, oh, they got a feast. They got strawberry kitchery, they got strawberry pakoras, they got strawberry sabji, they got a strawberry drink. You know, like that. It's all happening. It's a feast. Right? So that's the whole point, is that they think that they're doing something. You know, mommy's sitting out there and it's cute, taking a few pictures and this and that and stuff like that. But the point is it's not cooking. So just because they're using the intellectual process doesn't mean it's intelligent. You know what I'm saying? Like, kids get their father's car, go out for a joyride. Are they going anywhere? No, car is driving, but they're not getting anywhere. You understand? So that's the thing, is that in the modern context, even in the other context, just the so-called material intellectual context, or so-called, yeah, the material so-called intelligent context, they're using the process of rationalizing, you know, I'd say reasoning, but they're not, that the premise that they're working on is not rational. So therefore, it doesn't matter how much you speculate, it still will be useless. Does that make sense? So that's what's happening, is that for lower than monomoy, for pranamoyic standards of social position and control and enjoyment and facility, then people use the philosophy to try to establish that as a position. Because if I just try to establish it on its own, it'll be known for what it is. But if I try to hide it by calling it spiritual, then those who are more pious or more simple or more trusting will accept it. That's why preaching a bogus philosophy is so bad, because the innocent people don't know. They'll take it because it sounds logical, but they don't know what it is. That's why it's considered bad. You know? Does that make sense? You know, some kid is over in the corner smoking crack. Okay. He's doing that. It's not good. But now if he's going and getting other kids to come over and smoke crack, now you'll say, that's really bad. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that this whole idea is that I can use the higher things for attaining the lower. That's not actually very mature or intelligent. Because why would you use the higher to get something lower when the higher can be used to get something higher? You know what I'm saying? That's like saying, okay, I can get a dollar from my friend, but I go to the billionaire and I get a dollar from him. You know, that's called foolish. You understand? So we have that position, is that you can say it's a higher position, but actually it's lower. Just like the yogis, they merge into the supreme, will say, but they're from a higher position than the impersonalists. But actually it's considered lower. Because they are using a higher position to simply merge into the Lord. They know about His form, and then they merge. The impersonalists don't know about the form. That's why they merge, because they don't know that there's something else. They only know Brahman, so if merged in Brahman, what's the big deal? But here, they know He's a person, has a form, and then they merge. That's lower. So, so-called intellectually using the higher philosophy to establish lower principles of artha and kama, then this is really not recommended. Does that make sense? So just because it's popular doesn't mean that it's of any value. We can say, oh, but everybody's doing it. Yeah, but everybody here's a materialist. They're here. They're bound by the modes of nature. Why would you use them as an example? Well, karmis are all doing it. So why? So, yeah, and look what it's getting them. Another birth. So why would you want to do that? You would want to do that which is recommended. It's going to take you out of the material world. You can say, oh no, but we want to fit in. It says, really? Do you fit in? What group do you fit in? How many people on the planet appreciate what you're doing? Knock me out. 3? And I'm talking about someone who's really, it's really happening. You know, like that. You're lucky if you get one person who agree occasionally. So how is that fitting in? 7 billion people, you fit in with 3 people. Whoopee. You know what I'm saying? And all this hoopla just to prove that you and your 3 friends are the center of the universe. Why not take it that the Krishna and his associates, which are a little bit more numerous, you know, and they're doing this, and by doing this they've attained the highest position that actually what we would like to attain also. Why wouldn't we want to do what they do? And why wouldn't we use the method that we use, which is Shabda? We've heard from authority. We've tested authority. We believe in authority. We accept authority. Rather than use the modern, that is Pratyaksha. I don't see it. I don't understand it. So it can't be real. Why would we do that? So that's why it's called mixed devotional service. Now that's on the negative side. Positive side is someone is not trying to do something. They're trying their best sincerely to do, but they have material desire and all that. They'll progress nicely. But those who are using it like this, they'll only at maximum, they'll just stay the same. But there's a good chance, since they're going against authority, which is the basis of faith, then they'll fall away. Does that make sense? Okay. Sri Govindabhasya, you know, we were just there. Okay. This is worship of Brahman as cause and effect. At the present moment, oh no, we already did this, right? Nor should we think there?
Prajapati desire.
Oh, Prajapati desire. Okay. May I create offspring? He saw a pair of sacrificers. When the sun rose, he performed sacrifice. Taittiriya Brahmana 2.1.2.8. The devatas conducted a sacrifice, Taittiriya Brahmana. Oh, this is Taittiriya Brahmana, not Taittiriya Upanishad. Samsara. Okay, so he's pointing out is that they're seeing their position, they're seeing that in the connection with the Lord, they're taking up sacrifice. Right? So Prajapati desired to create offspring, that's his position as Prajapati. Therefore, he wants to do that in connection with the Lord, so he performs sacrifice. Shamsaya, if devatas tolerate delay from any kalpas while practicing Madhavidya, as described above, how could they be desirous of liberation, since they must give up taste even for Satyaloka in order to attain liberation? Siddhanta, that is true. But one must accept that such candidates, a type of Sanishta devotee, are possible because the scriptures describe them, and they are under the control of various karmas. This Adhikarna shows that the humans described in the previous Adhikarna must take even great and even greater endeavor. Right? So, if the demigods have to go through such, then how much we have to go through? So you're saying, well, why would they go through so much trouble? The point is well, you have to go through even more trouble to get to their position. Like that, you know, they're following all kinds of, you know, dharmas and everything, restricting themselves. They're going through so much more than what the demigod's going through. Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srila Vyasadeva declares that the devas meditate upon the Supreme Lord as the self of their selves, i.e. as the archetypical form of the demigods, right? So the self of themselves. So that's why it says they meditate upon themselves, but they're not meditating on themselves and aren't I said, I'm Indra, aren't I great? It's they're meditating upon themselves as Indra, but it's actually Krishna is that form of Indra. That they can do what they can do, that's because Krishna is that form in the primary creation. And that primary creation comes from him. Right? So the Brahman comes from him. Right, because the primary creation will be Brahman. He, from there, that's where they get their potency from. So them as Indra, then is actually because of Krishna as Indra, and then there's Krishna as that person. So they're meditating upon themselves as Indra is in relationship to Krishna being the source of that Indra-ness. Right, I'm Indra, but that's Indrahood. But Krishna is Indra-ness. So that's what they're meditating upon, right? So, but for the Mimamsakas, they're not thinking about that. They're just thinking, I want to become the demigod, so why would the demigod meditate? I want to become the demigod when he's already the demigod. But that's not how they're using it. They're using it to understand, I am the demigod, but actually the demigod's coming from the primary creation, which, and that is Krishna. So then they see their relationship with Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:63-43. I, Lord Brahma, the other demigods, and the pure-minded sages have all surrendered wholeheartedly unto you, our dearmost self and Lord. Right, so he's the actual self. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:63-44. Right, either as Brahma, he's actually the Brahma. He is the creator. Brahma is just the engineer. Right? Or you can look at it as the self, meaning the soul. But where does the soul come from? From Krishna. So we're just an energy of Krishna. So he's actually the self, and we're just a part of that self. So being a part, therefore we serve the whole. Let us worship you, the Supreme Lord, to be free from material life. You are the maintainer of the universe and the cause of its creation and demise. Equipoised and perfect at peace, perfectly at peace, you are the true friend, self, and worshipable Lord. You are one without a second, the shelter of all the worlds and all souls. Because he's perfectly equipoised, right? So therefore he's perfectly at peace. Because he has no desire, therefore there's no disturbance. Right? Misery comes from desire. No desire, no misery. Right? And so, as Bhakti Bob would say. Slightly, but it's the same principle. Yeah. Okay. So, that's the whole thing. You have desire, you have misery. He has no material desire, there's no misery. So therefore, his desire is only that relationship with the devotees. That's on the transcendental platform. That's real. Therefore, that only brings bliss. Yeah. Okay. True friend, he's the only one that actually is taken care all the time. Like that, he's always there. Right? He's giving the process and the situation. He's inspiring. He's giving the results. So he's the real friend here. And the self, we already discussed. He knows that the soul comes from the Lord. And he's the worshipable Lord because he is a person. He's the source of all this. Right? So in the platform of Tattva, then everything is perfect. And the platform of Bhagavan or Rasa, then everything is perfect. You are one without a second, the shelter of all the worlds and all souls. Yeah, I don't think that little round temple in central London knows this one, right? Yeah. Footnote 41. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Lord Shiva says, you are the friend of all, whereas others are not benefactors. You are the supreme soul, Atma Daivam, whereas others are not Paramatma, and consequently not brilliant. So then if you say something's brilliant, then you must be referring to its connection with devotional service. Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's just a standard old British tradition to point out the connection between what you've done and, the Supreme Lord. So actually it's a very Krishna conscious position. You are unique, whereas all others are not unique. Wow. They say? Okay. Paris has yet to learn that one. Right? But you are attached to your devotee. Sadhavo hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham. You are one, whereas others are many. You are the shelter of the universe and the soul, whereas all others are not the shelter. Sardartha Darshani 10:63-44 per point. Right, so bringing out that all this that we identify and the workings of the world, actually it's special because of its connection to Krishna. Otherwise, it's just quite ordinary. It's we can say, oh, it's very different, but it's within the modes of nature. So how different can it be? Right? The modes have come up with it, so it's not. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Adhikarana 8. Shudras are not qualified for Vedic meditation. Apashudra Adhikaranam. Sudra reference 1:334-38. Adhikarana Prakashika. It was said that human beings, devatas, and other higher beings are qualified to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not possible to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead without having studied the Vedanta. For the scriptures say, Upanishadaf Purushaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed in the Upanishads. From this, next question follows, are Shudras qualified to study the Vedas and worship Brahman? In short, Shudras can be liberated by hearing from the Puranas and Itihasas, but are not qualified for studying Shruti or performing sacrifices or rituals because they lack samskars. So this is going on, this is the Vishaya or the Shamshaya?
The box. Inside your box.
Oh, yes.
This is the Siddhanta.
Good action. Consider all aspects. Okay, yes. Okay, so when we say lack samskars, what does that mean? Is that samskars means the samskar to value the consistency of worship, the value of something higher than themselves, you know, other than their connection with the Supreme based on their experience gained from it. Does that make sense? In other words, the boy is with the girl, and that feeling of just eternity that they feel in that connection at that moment, because everything just happened to line up, and then that is what you make everything about, you know. And so then the problem is they're not seeing that connected to the Supreme, it's connected to themselves. So it's not about trying to elevate themselves and things like that. So because of that mentality, they lack the samskars to see the higher principles. So that mentality, because Shudra is a mentality, it's not a birth. So that mentality is not useful. So therefore, that mentality is just engaged by others who do understand. That's why the Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya engage such individuals. Because they see their definition of their position in connection with the Shastra, therefore in connection with the Supreme. But at least if not in connection with Shastra, that will regulate the life of the Shudra to bring him to that higher position. But if by good association you take it up, and then someone may say, no, but there are Shudras, there are great devotees. But are, by mentality, are they Shudras? No, they're Brahmins. By occupation, they may be Shudras. But what we're talking about here is the mentality of a Shudra. So in the performance of the ashram dharma, they approach that from the mentality of a Shudra. So therefore, their cleanliness, their, you know, regularity. Like I was discussing with some person running a musical school. And so I was inquiring about, I wanted to discuss some things because we were doing some curriculum work. And they, you know, they were pointing out, well, you have, you know, the whole program starts at night. You know, my point is I go to bed at night, but that's when they start. And then, so how does it work? When could I come and, you know, talk this and that? We can't say. Because the point is we have this whole night. Now, we start off with our, you know, practices and this and that. Now, if something happens, then we go with that. We're not going to go with something else. In other words, if that music is on, they're not going to stop for sitting there and dealing with your questions and things like that. And the problem is when it's not on, then they're morose, so they're not going to ask you your questions either. Right? So in other words, it's all about them and the mood and it's happening, and then others may get involved and it's all going. And if the mood's right, that you don't put your self-centeredness more than the other self-centeredness. In other words, you share self-centeredness. Oh, then it's fabulous. They're all smiling at each other and all, you know, doing the music and those not all-knowing nods, you know, like that. and stuff like that. So this is all going on. So the point is where's progression here? That's the point. It's irregular. It's all based on themselves. When they go, oh, I don't feel like it today. Oh, I can't. This and that. You can't do anything. The Brahman, okay, what do you want to talk about? Sit down, but like that. Anytime. Okay. Lessons at this time or discussions at this time come at that time. And they're there at that time. It's not that they'll be late because they didn't feel and this and that. And, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like administrators. Right? They're on time. You know, businessmen at a business meeting, they're on time. You know, if you have, artist celebrities, then they're always fashionably late. You understand? So that's it. I mean, they call it fashionably. It just means they absolutely could not come on time even if you told them they had to. Because of their moods, this, that, so many things, they lament. So what we're basically saying is those who always lament can't take up this process. That's the whole point. That's why stableness, steadiness is so important. How that's going to a clean environment, proper understanding of the philosophy, regulation, all the things that those with this mentality oppose. Oh, why do we have to follow? This is so restrictive. I'm not being myself. Who is this self they're talking about? Because the soul doesn't need to be an artist. That's the conditioning. So is that the self? No. You have to be true to yourself. Who's that self? And if it's not defined by Shastra, it's not a self. So Krishna being the supreme self, then all those definitions of self in the material world, you know, Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all these, that is Krishna. And so when you see that connected to Krishna, that's actually progressive. So that's then the point here is that Shudras, in that mentality, they can't take up this meditation because what are they going to meditate on? You know, they'll be meditating on something that you wish they weren't meditating on. And that they can meditate on all day, amazingly. Like that. That's the. Does this make sense? So, this is above social issues. Because we're saying anybody who's on this platform of transcendence is qualified. And anyone who's not is not. But at least the form of it can be done by those who are not, because mechanically they have the ability. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say we have two materialists. One does not have arms and one does have arms. Okay? Now the idea is they want to drive the car around. Right? Where will they drive? They just drive around and they're not accomplish anything. Right? Nothing transcendental. So, therefore, they're both wrong. But of the two, the guy with arms actually could drive the car. The guy without arms won't be able to drive the car. Does that make sense? So that's all we're saying. But now, if both of them are absorbed in the Supreme, then both of them are perfect. Though still, one will drive the car, one won't. That's the whole thing. So that's what's being said here. The Shudra, with the abilities that they have, the mentality, they actually can't absorb themselves because they're too distracted by something else. Ever heard of somebody who something came up and so emotionally disturbing they didn't chant their rounds for many days? You ever heard of that? That's called Shudra. Because what's happening? They're lamenting. Shudra means one who laments. So even if someone's not a Shudra, by taking up that mentality, then they can't function. Right? Does that make sense? Right. So that's what we're talking about here, is that mentality. So those who are committed to this mentality, then, you know, or identify with it, then definitely they can't. Yes.
So the misunderstanding here is sometimes people, they see the disqualification and then they immediately think this is restrictive, but actually it's the wrong approach. They actually have to see what they have to do in order to be qualified.
Yes, that's the whole point. But it's not that their Shudra occupation is the point. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, because we're saying that if you change the mentality, then it's there. Therefore, I as the shudra in the equation will tell the Vaishya what to do. No, he's still going to tell you what to do because he knows economics. You know how to do the work. You know the art. He knows the economics. So that doesn't change. But it may be that the shudra, because he's a devotee or more advanced than the Vaishya, he may be advising him in, you know, devotional service. But that takes more maturity, that we can separate all these things. That's why in here, intelligence means we can separate. So we're seeing the difference so that we can use them to advantage. But when we mix all the things, because it seems to make it easier, it just makes it more miserable. Everybody's miserable, right? Because if I'm miserable, everybody's miserable. It's all miserable. You know, it's like I am... My relationship didn't work out, therefore by watching La Boheme, then I'm really going to be happy because it didn't work out for them either, right? You know, so then I don't feel so bad. That makes sense? Yes?
It's also mentioned here because you lack some scars.
You lack some scars.
Traditionally in Vedic society, they didn't perform some scars.
They don't see the need to perform. These devotees that say, oh, why do we have to perform these things? That's a shudra mentality. Because dweejas always do, because if I do this, I get benefit. Just like this. Okay, take this 100 rupees, invest it here, and by the end of the week, you'll have 1,000 rupees. Okay? No, why should we do that? Why should we restrict ourselves? Why do I have to give my 100 rupees there? I want to spend my 100 rupees. You're saying I can't spend my 100 rupees for a week. Why I should do that? Is that a businessman or is that a shudra?
1,000 rupees is more.
Yeah, that's another discussion.
Yeah, because Vaishnavas, all of them, they perform the samskaras.
Because the point is if they perform the samskaras, then you're qualified on these higher levels. That's why in the Vedic system you do that. Now, if the shudras don't do it, it's not a fault. But if the dweejas don't do it, that's a fault. Then they become dweeja bandhu. This whole thing, oh, we don't have to do, we're above this. Then why we're doing marriages? That's a samskar. Why we do birthdays, that's a samskar. You know what I'm saying? You know, Christmas, you know, all these different things. We pick all these samskars we want and leave the ones we don't. That's shudra mentality. So that's why then it'll be mixed. No, but they do, you know, they do all these things. He's an intellectual, he's this and that. But at the same time, is by the Vedic, that's called mixed. Right? In other words, there's some Brahman aspect, but there's some shudra aspect also. That's why you see this. You shouldn't see this. But you do. That was Arjuna's anxiety. That we're going to get a whole world full of such individuals. And then the whole Vedic culture will go. And then everyone will be miserable. You understand? So it's mixed, because a Brahman should talk like a Brahman. But when a Brahmin talks like a Shudra, they use a Brahmin brain for a Shudra things, then we got a problem. Right? So that means, and that's why that's called a Chandala.
That would be 10 samskaras and initiation samskaras.
Sorry?
For us, that would be samskaras.
Yes, yes, all these different things. But also, we you know, one has to have the impressions that following the Vedic standards is good. Because how do you meditate if you're not clean and focused and all these things? Because if you're thinking about all kinds of mundane things, how do you do this? You know what I'm saying? How can you meditate if you're thinking on something else? I'm supposed to be meditating on Krishna, but instead I'm meditating on, you know, something else. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's going to be the problem. So the main point comes down to, as long as one's working on these inferior... So when we say lack samskaras, we mean positive. Vedic means the positive qualities. It's not that they lack samskaras. They have tons of samskaras. You know, like that. You know, it's like that story of the one day there was this big this big group of people there was, and they were all around and that, and so somebody was wondering what's going on, so we went over and looked. And then when he saw, a cow had gotten its horns caught in the fence. And all these people were there trying to figure out how to get the cow out from the fence. And so this person that came over, he said, you know, why is such a big deal? It's so easy, just cut the horns. Right? You know, and so everyone freaked out and all that. And this got back to the king. And the king is, you know, okay, well, you know, who is this person? And then he finds out he's from a high-grade family. And then he calls the mother and says, why is your kid like this? You know? And so then it comes back in the story that, I think it's on the day he was conceived or something, that in the morning when she woke up, the first thing she saw was a butcher. And so that somehow or another stuck in her mind, and like that, and so it had that element. So then it came out in the samskara of the child. So it's a samskara, but it's just negative. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole point, like that. So, yeah.
If you include like, all the different definitions of the samskaras,
yeah.
I also heard that one devotee, he was giving a class on Vaishnavedic, he was saying that when we offer obeisances and we don't meditate upon our spiritual master accepting this obeisance, but we just do it like, automatically, mechanically, we leave in ourselves samskara that you can do something unconsciously, which is...
Yes, so then you'll do it more. Yes, yes. It means whatever you do, the process of action and reaction is whatever you do then makes a seed for doing that thing again. So if you're trying to remember, then it'll make a seed for it, trying to remember. And then if you do remember, that'll make a seed for remembering. That's why sadhana is a gradual process. That's why, you know, the question comes up, why would somebody who's supposed to be advanced do something wrong? But the point is why don't we look at the samskara, they're doing something right. So that means they've taken the samskara from doing nothing right to doing so much right, and now only occasionally doing something wrong. But we're looking, oh, if there's any fault, then it's all like that, because it's all about us. How can I have faith? How can I? Because it's all about me. Rather than, why not have faith in the greater process? This person, who were they before? Look at them now. You know, Prabhupada used to point that out too. I remember he's talking in Bombay, he's talking to some, you know, big, you know, gentlemen there, you know, they're from high-grade families and all this and that, pious vegetarians, you know, their family's been vegetarians for, you know, since, you know, God made Marwaris, you know, like that. So, you know, it's just the piety and all that, so it's great. But he pointed to one of the sannyasis, you know, really, you know, very simple, austere, very practical, you know, like that. And he said, you know, says, how you say, his samskaras, his lifestyle before, he pointed and says was you know, I can't remember the words he says, but basically pointing out it was, you know, really bad. And how do you call it? And pointing to the gentleman, see him now, you know, the preaching, the situating devotional service, and so that this is the power of devotional service. So you see that. Right? Now we see that, oh, on his shoulder he has a tattoo of Zigzag Man, then, you know, oh, he's, why is there, you know, like this and that. But the point is, Prabhupada's point, no, that's what he was. Now look at him now. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Prabhupada would point that out many times to these Indian gentlemen, that this is the power of devotional service. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the point, is that if you've changed the samskara there, it will, all these others will, so there may be a lag, but the point is that's what anartha nivriti is. You know, that's what it's for, is removing that. So that will always create that. So that's then the idea. Samskara means any impression. So we're trying to improve the quality of the impression. If it's just, oh, it doesn't matter, we do whatever we want. That's a bohemian thing, actually. Bohemian? the flaming bhakti.
Yes. It's a new age, no?
Well, it goes way back. The Bohemians, got, like I mentioned, La Boheme, that goes back to the 1700s. They were Bohemians. So it's always been there. It's kind of a French thing, right? You know, it's a free thinking, you know, artistic, you know, individualistic, emotional, but, it, you know, thoughtful, refined, you know, but can accommodate a little bit of unrefinement. You know, as long as it's accepted within that particular situation and all that. But would you add something?
No, that's pretty good.
Like that. So in other words, your what you could say is your archetypical Shudra. You know, your artist. You know. He's being true to himself, trying to maintain himself through his art and his expression, though he hardly has anything, which is such a, you know, disaster, you know, such a shame because he has so much to offer the world and things like that. And, you know, but they're always hoping then they'll get a rich sponsor and then, you know, then everything will go nicely. You know, like, what was his name? Mozart, he had the queen of, what was it, Austria? Yeah, like that. And so, as a patron, and he was the court musician at 6 years old. But he died with nothing. So at some point, she must have died, and then he had nobody, and this and that. So, like that. I think it was his requiem was found by another musician who happened to go to the butcher shop and order something, and he wrapped it, you know, in you know, sheet music. And then, you know, he took it because he's a musician. He saw this and like this, and they figured out it's Mozart. I'm not sure if he went back and tried to find the rest of it, but, you know. So it, I think it's incomplete because he didn't get all the pages. He didn't buy that much, right? So if only I had bought more, you know. So, you know, so like that is that it's just this whole thing of. It's always that anxiety. If you're not in anxiety, you're not, you know, there's moments of that clarity and fabulousness, but it has to have that great, you know, yeah.
There's also the loft apartments and colorful cushions.
Loft apartments, colorful cushions. Yeah, wearing something that's not quite in fashion, but, you know, will be in fashion or was in fashion. Or, yeah. You know, it's just accepting the pains of the material world and that standard and it's supposed to be like that and enjoy them rather than let's make a solution to this. You know. So you can see from this, so much of the modern culture, intellectual culture is actually this. But most people won't even know that's what it is. But that's where it comes from. You know, because it can also, as a branch, include the New Age that fits in really nicely. You know, somebody said hanging out with gypsies is not a problem. You know, like that, so. Yes.
How can I understand that in like Mahabharata, like we see when Shudras approach the Guru for devotional service, they are elevated from the Shudras to Brahmanas.
Yes.
But when it came to like this Ekalavya going for Dronacharya and Karna going for Parshuram, because they are going for Varna, not for devotional service.
Yeah, so they won't elevate, because you can't, means the nature won't change. It's just like, let's say, means now if that Shudra who became a Brahmin and practices the brahminical activities, generally speaking, you'll see they're doing the highest aspects of the brahminical of hearing and chanting. It's not that they're now a full-time pujari down at the temple.
Yes.
You understand? Doing yajnas, doing this, doing samskaras. They're not that aspect. Because of it, the topmost, which is actually the nature of the soul, is just, you know, studying shastra, teaching shastra. Because that's what preaching is. Right? So that any soul can do. But being able to be a full-time pujari, that only those with that nature can do that all the time. Now, in their home doing puja, everybody could do an artik or that or stuff like that. That's why you see in communities, everyone will do, you know, once a week the artik or dress the deity or do an offering or like this, because they can fit that in. Because that's from the devotional, that's from ashram side, not from varna side. Mm. You understand? Because the community is there, 500 devotees in the community, but you only have 3 people that are full time. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they have that nature. Then you have a few more, they're scholars, they do all that kind of stuff, and you have a few more that are teachers, and a few more that are this. You know what I'm saying? Because that's their name. But everybody is able to be Brahman by the devotional qualification. So generally you'll see those, they were a Shudra, now they're a Brahman. But they're a sage. They're not, you know, yagyik Brahman or a samskar Brahman or a daily puja or a festival Brahman, like that. They're not that. Does that make sense? But it's not that technically they couldn't do. From that position, if they took that up, they could. But why would you take up that lower position when you can always do that? Why would you take up being a full-time pujari when you could full-time preach? Does that make sense? Okay. So the point is they could do it, but why would they? Does that make sense? You know, so like Narottam Das Thakur, he's from a Vaishya family. And then he takes up devotional service and all that. And then you see he just does those brahminical activities of just studying and teaching. Right? Like that. He could do his business stuff, he doesn't. He could do the kshatriya, the vaishya. He doesn't. He just does that. Why would he do the lower? Right? Does that make sense? So those within the asuric varnashram will then have a complaint about this. Why he's doing these brahminical activities? They don't understand that these are actually devotional activities. They're above brahminical. Right? Does that make sense? Then you have your nature. Because if we don't accept that, then how are we going to accept the spiritual world? Spiritual world, Mother Jashoda, is she trying to become a Brahmin? No. So then, what's the big deal? The point is they all have that pure devotional mood. So it's everything's perfectly connected to Krishna, but then they, according to duty, they do that. Because otherwise, without the social, how do you increase the association? Does that make sense? Otherwise, then what do you have? Right? Lord Chaitanya, that's always a whole thing happening, right? All the different interactions, all the different relations, right? Krishna, Rama, all these like this. With Buddha, what is that? It's just all the same. He sits there, everybody else sits there and listens. That's it. There is nothing more. There is no relations. You don't hear relations between one Buddhist and another. Fabulous stories about that. No, it's just they're doing their Buddhist stuff. You know, so there's no relation because everything's nothing.
It's obvious.
Yes, it's obvious. Yeah. So, you understand? So the whole point is that's why the social system is there, to increase the circle of devotion. So it's an appendage to bhakti, not it stands on its own. But we'll say, oh, it doesn't. It's bhakti is the higher. But then if it's the higher, why can't it be an appendage? No, bhakti is the higher. We get rid of everything else. But if you get rid of everything else, what are you left with? Buddhism. Because why I say Buddhism? Why don't you say, you know, Mayavads or impersonalists? Because they at least accept the Vedic version. So when we get rid of the Vedic version and don't accept all these things, then we end up with Buddhism, because that is no social system without the Veda. Does that make sense? When you have no social system with the Veda, that's an impersonalist. Yes.
But so Westerners are coming to Krishna consciousness and they haven't had the correct samskaras.
Yes.
So, what can they do? They can't do anything about that.
No, but they chant Hare Krishna. That's the point. The point is the samskara is the mentality. Because samskara is an impression. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, do we go by our previous impressions, or do we let's just like to sing this. You're walking down the street, and there's this house that they've been working on for the last 3 months, and finally it seems to be finished because all the guys are up there on the roof, and they got their slab of tinnies, right? So now, you walking by, you see the ladder, you climb up there and join them.
Me personally?
Yes.
No.
No, okay. So that means then, you know, so the point is that samskar is there, you know. So some others might. So the point is we as devotees, we're not interested because we just wouldn't be. So even if we used to go up there, we won't anymore.
So when they were doing the samskaras, the boy and girl were matching in Varna.
Yes.
So that there was a higher chance.
And an ashram.
Yeah. Yeah. So
important.
There was a higher chance of.
I say, unless you're. You call it. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
There was a higher chance of creating someone of that same varna.
Yes. Yes. Then the natural consequence would be they'd be the same varna.
Yeah.
Well, if they're mixed varna, generally the child will be mixed.
Yeah. So that's the case in the Westerners. There's mixed varna. So I think this is the reason why people...
Mixes of mixes.
Yeah. So I think this is...
Because mixed, at least you can give a proper title to it. Mixes of mixes, they go kind of outside the system.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think this is the reason why people give up on varnashram, because if you're mixed, you've got two options. You either find the prominent one and you try to fit yourself into that, or you try to engage all your aspects of mixture.
Yeah, but through one.
Through one.
Yeah, it means it's just like, in other words, you have, see, is all occupations can be an occupation or be a, how you say, hobby. So in other words, which one's the occupation, which one's the hobby?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, let's say, one was a teacher, the other was a musician. Right, you know, typical bohemian mix,
yeah.
Here, right? So, I don't get much better than that one. Unless, of course, she's it could be anything like that. So, then now is it that you teach music, or you teach another subject like that, and you're a musician on the side for fun?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you're part of the you're part of the campus a cappella group or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Or you're a musician, but you teach music. You understand like that? Or, you know, you're just a musician that's interested in, you know, philosophy and other things like that. So you have to pick some place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So what varna is that? The teaching or?
And these are all those first ones, that's all brahminical.
Okay.
And the last one, then that's shuddha. Right,
yep.
But from the Western point of view, is they might be brahminical, but because that's there and they like that, so that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's something was available and this and that, and so that's what they took up. They like music, this, that, you know, they were, you know, they went for the job interview or they went to get that loan to set up a business, it didn't work out, and then a friend comes and says, hey, we're setting up a band, you want to take part, and so he does. You know, so, yes.
I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he simplified it for the Anchajas.
Oh.
He says, don't worry about varnashram if you like that. Just do your occupation and then concentrate on your sadhana. And then
yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because then it's too complex.
Yeah. Because if you concentrate on your occupation, you do that, you know, ideally according to the standards that are set. But in any case, you just do that to get your money so you can maintain the ashram. Because in the ashram, generally, everybody can relate to that.
Yeah.
Prabhupada introduced ashram dharma. Everybody could deal with that. You know. And the brahminical, the problem comes in when you're adding kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. That's where the problem comes. But otherwise, even those who don't accept varnashram accept the ashram side of varnashram. You know. So, yeah. Yes.
Maharaj, trying to implement the samskaras, which one could be the first one to make the devotees be more aware to start following?
Garbhadhan's a good place to start. Like that. I mean, marriage, you know, generally they accept that marriage is an okay samskar. Because that goes on in basically all cultures of the world. Like that. So, it means that's naturally the first one you start with, you know, or even more to start with. You could start with initiation. You know, that's the spiritual, but the concept that it's there. But marriage and Garbhadhan, then if you can do marriage and Garbhadhan, generally you'll tend to do the other ones. If you do Garbhadhan, then you can be aware. You know, does that make sense? Because Garbhadhan is addressing, that's going to create the situation in which all the other samskars come up. Does that make sense? So therefore, when the samskar manual is due, you start with marriage, then Garbhadhan, and then all the way through. Because then once Prabhupada's gone through it, then what will they do? They'll grow up, they'll get married, and then they'll start the next generation.
Garbhadhan meaning the 50 rounds with the mentality of
passage? Yeah, the main thing is the mentality. Like that. The 50 rounds is in pursuance of getting that mentality. It means, in other words, if I'm absorbed in devotional service, I'll have a good mentality there for the child to tend to be. What do you call it? Devotional. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not that, oh, I chanted 15 rounds, now, you know, like this. It's about the mentality. So they should know what the samskar is for. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Jai Natai Gaura Premanandini.